I'm so good. Sorry to keep you waiting, but I guess there were some interruptions with the phone line.
Yeah, I don't understand what happened, but anyway, here we are. So I hear you got stuck
all
in...
yours.
I hear you got stuck in traffic earlier.
I did. You know how it's like. Well, is it that I was making my way from Brooklyn back into the city, and you know, I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to keep you waiting, so...
That's no problem. Not a problem at all. So I'm really excited that you're coming to Asheville. I know that you have a lot of fans here.
I love Asheville, actually.
Really? Have you played here before?
You know what? I can't remember if I have. Maybe we were just passing through.
Yeah.
And everybody remember going to a Mellow Mushroom.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Yeah, I really like it. I have a couple of friends who live there, and, you know, they said it's a nice little spot to be in, and I agree.
Yeah, nice. I was wondering, since Ghost Bird has been out for about 6 months now, and you've had time to tour behind it, I'm just wondering your impressions of the reception of that album.
Wow, the reception, Ghost Bird has really taken a life of its own. I'm really, you know, grateful that the response has been, you know, has been really great. And, you know, people are accepting it really well. And, you know, it's nice to know that this batch of stories are, you know, relatable to people. And I'm happy for it.
Yeah. It does really have a sense to me of storytelling, and I wondered if when you were writing the songs, if there was an idea at the start that you wanted to convey, or if the songs kind of came from different times and different experiences.
Hello? I'm sorry, yeah, the line broke for a little bit.
That's okay. No, I was wondering about the storytelling in there, and if you sat down and wrote the songs all at one time, with one sort of theme in mind, or if they kind of came from different points of time in your life.
Oh, they definitely came from different points of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite apparent too, actually. You know, if you listen to it, it definitely comes from different stages of my life, and you know, it was a big, huge transcendental part of my chapters in living in New York and then going to Florida for my writing retreat, and you know, just being affected by different surroundings and, you know, meeting different people and hearing different stories and creating more out of my imagination also.
Yeah.
And travel has a lot to do with the practice for me to just sort of, I guess, kind of submerge in my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's birthed from different places and different times of my life, yeah.
Tell me more about that, about travel and how it impacts your writing, because I've always thought that musicians who travel a lot, that... It seems like that would give you so much material to draw from.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, with touring and everything, you know, and it's nice to have a career, I guess, you know, that is married to traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, you know, I can't ask for better combinations than that. You know, and it's nice, although, you know, sometimes when you're on the road and when you're on tour, and you're only in a city or a certain place for maybe, you know, for a couple of hours. So you kind of have to, you know, again, practice a sort of mental strength to soak everything in within the 2 hours or the brief time that you'll be there.
Yeah.
And just sort of learn from whatever you can learn and see whatever you can see and just sort of soak whatever you can soak in that short period of time. But travel has a lot to do with everything. I mean, I can't not be in a certain place in a certain amount of time or I'll get really antsy.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's physical escapism. And writing is definitely an escape too. So they're a good pair.
Yeah, that's funny. You mentioned going to a writer's retreat in Florida.
Well, it was kind of a self, you know, retreat. My friend lived there, and he said that, you know, I wasn't familiar with Florida's climate at all. And we went in the middle of January, I think, last year, and New York had, like, a huge snowstorm. And I was like, oh, I would so love to go there. And then we drove from New York to Florida. We did the whole 15 hours, long-hauled it. And the next day, you know, the day when I left, I was in 5 layers of clothing. And then the next day, I was in, you know, my sarong and my flip-flops. And I'm like, this is really weird. Am I still in America?
That's funny.
But, yeah, and then I just stayed there for about 3 months, where he brought me around his favorite places. So we went to Florida, Everglades, where there was just an infinite amount of inspiration from everywhere.
Yeah.
It's so open, and I miss it because it reminds me of home.
Yeah, I was going to ask about
that. Just being out in the open skies and, you know, simple things, and you just appreciate foliage so much more after being in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that had me a lot of time to sort of reflect and just sort of listen to the songs in my head more.
Yeah. Is it important to you to incorporate that tropical? There's so much of the tropical sound in Ghost Bird, and I wonder, like, do you imagine someday doing an album that doesn't have that so much? Like, maybe it's the ukulele, and I think it's also your singing style, or is that something that's...
Yeah, you know, I mean, the songs that are in Ghost Bird, well, most of my songs, I mean, if you listen to my first record, it's very different.
Yeah, right.
And like I said, you know, just being in different places, you know, as a writer, you're affected by your surroundings no matter what you try to do. But it's not, definitely not like an intentional thing. Like, it's definitely not something that I go in and I'm like, okay, I want this to have this vibe, or I want this to have that vibe, you know? It just sort of writes itself that way. And there's just no way to explain it, but, I mean, eventually, you know, and in Ghost Bird itself, like, every song sounds really different from each other, even. Like,
right.
You know, Book of Morris Johnson doesn't sound like Concrete Wall or 31 Days or, you know, and it's just a variety for different moods where I wrote in my different moods. So I'm very excited to, you know, to see where my growth process will go and how my songs will sound musically, melodically, lyrically for the third album as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm with you on that one. I'm wondering too.
It'll be fun.
I think it's
really interesting that you ended up on Brushfire, because even though you're from a totally different part of the world, your music does share some similarities with a lot of the artists on that label. And I know that you've done some performing with Jack Johnson and ALO. And did that surprise you at all when you kind of discovered, or maybe you don't even feel like you share a sound with them?
Well, you know, I feel so blessed to be with the Brushfire family. And to be a part of such an amazing roster of really amazing artists. And I've met most of them, and they're, you know, just as amazing as, you know, their work as people and as musicians as well. But the part that really surprised me was actually being signed.
Yeah.
Because I never intended to be... a musician or a performer or even a singer, actually. And when they discovered me on YouTube, that was a point in my life where I did it anonymously as well. And the videos, you know, it's just half of my face. So that was just me trying to neutralize the fact that, you know, trying to, even though YouTube was kind of a visual outlet, but I wanted it to, you know, not force, but encourage people to listen to the music more rather than, you know, visually, which defeats the whole purpose of being on YouTube, but I'm a rebel like that.
Funny.
And then, you know, and then when the whole thing just sort of happened, and I, it's still pretty surreal to me that I get to do this. I get to wake up every day now with a reason to, you know, basically just be inspired day in and day out and listen closely and look more closely to things and you know, being a part of the Brushfire crew, it couldn't get any better than that.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
You know, there's so much freedom and it just encourages me to be, you know, better as a musician as well as a person, actually.
I wanted to ask you about singing songs in Ghost Bird in your native language, and I wondered if you decided to do that because you just wanted to share your language, or if the language really lends itself more to your writing. Like, do you feel that some songs need to be in English and then other songs don't want to be in English, or how does that work for you?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Oh, sure. So you have a couple songs in Ghost Bird that are in Malay, right? I wondered, did you decide to do that because, I was just thinking about the writing process, like, do you find that English lends itself more to songwriting, or do you want to write in your home language more? Is there one that's more inspiring or better for writing than the other?
Well, I think in English, I've mm-hmm. always had, mm-hmm. You know, but I find there's like a certain relaxed, you know, a relaxed feeling when I sing in my own language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's also a very natural thing. It's actually natural for me to speak and to sing, to write, and in both English and my native language as well, because that's what I speak at home with my family.
Right.
And, you know, so, I don't know, it's something, like, again, I say it's just something that decides itself. But, you know, certain words are, you know, as you know, many languages, some words cannot be translated. When you translate it to English, it just doesn't, you know, mean the same, or it just doesn't feel the same. So more importantly, it's more about the delivery of an emotion in a word that's not translatable into English.
Mm-hmm.
But people register it anyway, because when you, you know, express things in a very natural way, people can immediately, you know, it hits you somewhere where you can feel it, even though you don't understand it. Like, for example, I listen to a lot of foreign songs, like French chansons, listen to Afrobeat, and I don't understand what they're saying.
Right.
It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I feel it. Like, if I listen to Jacques Brel, I feel his hurt. If I listen to, you know, any Afrobeat songs, and because of the beat and because of the way they deliver it, and you know that they're singing it with smiles on your face.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good. And, you know, and it happens with, like, classical music as well. Like, you know, basically, if it's a language that you don't understand, it automatically becomes a melody.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Riff in a song, so.
So do you think that the ice...
Oh, it's so cold. How's it like in Asheville? So
it's colder today than it has been, but it's still really beautiful. Like, I think right now it's about... It's like in the upper 40s, and it's really sunny.
Oh, apparently we're expecting snow. Hold on. Well, Mia, are we expecting snow? It snowed just now? Weird. It snowed briefly.
Yeah, I heard that it snowed here early this morning, but I didn't see it.
Mm. I wish it snowed, though. At least you can actually see where the cold is coming from.
Yeah.
It's just cool. It's just cool. It's like some phantom coldness.
That's funny.
My body is not made for this time.
Yeah, that's a pretty... When did you move to New York?
I moved to New York. Well, I used to live in London, so I really should used to this cold right now. But I moved to New York. I was in California first when I first moved to the States.
Okay.
That's when the first album came out, and I lived there. Well, I paid rent for like 8 months, but maybe I was in there for three.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to New York about a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, still, if you grew up in a totally different climate, it would be really hard to adjust, I think.
Yeah, I know. And I just got back from Malaysia as well, so you can just imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that and battling jet lag.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I just have, like, well, I just wanted to ask you before I let you go about the ukulele, and I wondered if you write songs on it.
I'm sorry?
When you're writing your songs, do you use the ukulele to start writing a song, or do you use a different instrument?
No. The ukulele is something that's portable. I mean, you know, I bring it when I can. But like I said, you know, it basically whatever instruments I touch, you know, even something, you know, I'm more percussive based. As well, actually, you know, I like beats as well. But I don't play any percussions at all, so, you know, I bang on the table, and the melody comes to mind, and, you know, some songs are fitted for the ukulele, some songs are fitted for the guitar, but I think it's an equal amount of both the guitar and the ukulele where I write my songs on, but, you know, if I'm just so happen to be hanging out with my ukulele and a melody comes to mind, then that's the song that's meant for the ukulele.
Yeah,
I find there's more versatility with the guitar.
Yeah.
You know, you can just easily come up with a melody on the guitar and then transfer that on, you know, like the piano or just the bass or, you know, the keys or, you know, or the ukulele even and transpose it, you know. But, there's just no set instrument for me, really, although the ukulele is becoming quite my main instrument, but I like to try different things out.
Yeah, is it becoming your main instrument just because you can travel with it so easily?
Yeah, it's portable and it's appropriate size for me.
Well, I mean,
the guitar is way too big, it ruins the outfit.
Yeah, I feel like there's been some incredible musicians in the last few years who've really made the ukulele more serious. Like
Eddie Vedder.
Right, yeah, he did that whole album, and of course
I didn't
Jake.
I get that, actually.
Yeah, and Jake Shimabukuro, and yeah.
That's an interesting frequency.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's the new electric guitar, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's great. Okay, well, thank you so much for your time. I'll let you go and catch your breath.
Thank
and get
you for
some
your
rest.
Very nice questions. I really enjoyed that. Had a good flow.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, it's been fun.
Am I seeing you in Nashville? Are you going to
come
to the show?
No, I'm so excited about the show. I'm definitely going to be there.
Beauty. I can't wait to meet you. So
yeah,
I
will come say hi.
All right, beautiful. Bring confetti gun.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Okay. The venue won't appreciate it, but we'll shoot it outside.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, have a good day.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.